leaders. There were present at that season some that told him, that is Jesus, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I feel that the Lord would have us to consider this terrible modern-day tragedy of the earthquake in Haiti last Tuesday, January 12th. The Lord touched upon modern-day calamities as they were brought to his attention, and he, of course, added one to that, the tower that fell upon people in Siloam and killed 18 people. And I guess we would include this today. Some would be asking, or some are supposing, that the Haitians must be sinners above all people, in that this terrible tragedy occurred to them this last Tuesday. And the Lord Jesus would give the same answer, we believe. Suppose ye that these hundreds of thousands of people upon whom these buildings fell are sinners or were sinners above all men that dwell in the world? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want us to consider lessons from the Haitian earthquake today. At least three things combined to make Tuesday's earthquake in Haiti a major catastrophe. It was 7 on the Richter scale. In other words, it was a very heavy shake. 2, it originated not very deep in the ground, 6 miles. That is, there was less ground to absorb the shock. And 3, it occurred near a major population center, where we're hearing that several hundred thousand perhaps have died. Obviously, when an earthquake occurs near a major population center, there's a high death toll at stake. Is there a word from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord for Haitians? Is there a word for the Lord to the world? Is there a word from the Lord to the church? After such world-shaking events, comments should be made by churches and preachers, sometimes very untimely and cruel words are given, sometimes very unwise and inappropriate words are given. But comments should be made, just like the people around Jeremiah when they were being judged by the Lord naturally came to a preacher and said, is there a word from the Lord? So there's that, if not unspoken, approach to God's people saying, is there a word for the Lord, from the Lord in this circumstance? Jeremiah's answer was, there is. And I do believe that there is an answer. There is a response after this type of tragedy. I don't believe in those that have said we don't know what God is saying. We don't know what to say except feel with those that have been affected by this. That is certainly a message, to empathize, to try to help. And my proposition this morning is the great Haitian earthquake that is nearly devastated, its capital city is didactic. It has lessons about God's glory, about the world's misery, and about the church's mercy. And I want us to note them this morning. I have touched upon previous tragedies. For instance, the Hurricane Katrina, the tsunami, 9/11, the Columbine Massacre, these kinds of tragedies that affect the world, and people want to know what God is saying, if He's saying anything at all. We've also commented a while ago on that great earthquake in Turkey and in Mexico. This is not the only place that has been the brunt of this kind of judgment. First thought that should come from this, or may I say a dominant thought, is God's omnipotence and holiness. What is God saying through this earthquake? He wants people to see that He's the God of glory, that He is a God who shakes the earth. The Bible tells us that He's going not only to shake the earth, but He's going to shake the heavens one day, that the unshakable things will remain. When you think about earthquakes and tsunamis, lightning and thunder, and other catastrophes, God is jealous. He doesn't want people just to say nature did this. These are just natural catastrophes. There's two extremes at this time. There's the one extreme where a person immediately says that God has judged Haiti, that the Haitians were worse than anyone in the world at this time because of what just happened to them. And the other extreme is, this is just a human thing. This is just a circumstance. This is just the next tragedy in this world. This just occurred on a fault line, so we should expect it. My answer is, at first, who caused those fault lines that are in the world? The cataclysm of Noah's earthwide flood is the beginning of those fault lines. That the land mass was in one mass before God destroyed the world. And the continents were broken up into pieces and fault lines were formed. They are evidence of the wrath of God upon the sin of men in the days of Noah. Worldly wise men are just telling us it just happened. It was their turn in history, like California had its turn, and Mexico had its turn, and Turkey had its turn. It was just Haiti's turn in history, for they haven't had one for a couple hundred years. It's evolution, the evolutionist's way of saying, well, the fittest survive, and the unfit don't. God is jealous for glory. He's the God of land. He can cause earthquakes and volcanoes. He's the God of the air. He causes lightning and thunder and hail and twisters and tornadoes. And He's the God of the sea, of the water. He causes earthquakes, tsunamis, and floods. After the dust settles, His people are immediately helped. Certainly this should be a major thought in people's minds, that God is a God of glory. God is a God of omnipotence and holiness. He's the God of the land as well as the God of the air, and the heavens, and the seas. God oversaw this earthquake, brother and sister, friend. The Bible tells us, in the history of the world, that God has caused earthquakes. God shook Mount Sinai when He gave His law. The ground split apart to swallow up Dathan and Abiram in the wilderness. When the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, a great earthquake occurred. And many of the saints which slept arose. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Olivet Discourse, predicts that great earthquakes in diverse places will occur in the future. And this is one of them. The Gospel, or the Book of Revelation, the writer John the Apostle tells us in chapter 16, verse 18, that in the tribulation period, a great earthquake that will be unprecedented, greater than any other previous earthquake, will occur and create great devastation. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us about calamities of this type. Is there calamity? The Authorized Version says evil. Is there a calamity in a city and the Lord hath not done it? You say the Lord did that? Friend, it's time to just think and face up to the God of heaven is in absolute control. Whether you want to say He caused it, He oversaw it, He permitted it, the God of heaven and earth and seas is the one who did it. Isaiah 24 that I read yesterday is so applicable. There are people that say that Haiti was judged for their pact with the devil a couple of hundred years ago, and they got what they deserved. Well, it may be so, indeed, that God judges sinners. But you know there's hope for those who are judged? It tells us in Isaiah 24:1, "Behold, the Lord empties the land and makes it waste and distorts its face." In verses 18 to 20, that the earth is breaking and crashing and tottering and staggering. These are descriptions of earthquakes. But it tells us that, like the nation Egypt, chapter 19 of Isaiah, who had idols and mediums and fortune tellers and who sought the devil, as it were, they had pacts with the devil. But yes, they were judged, but there was hope that one day the Egyptians would call upon the name of the Lord. But we have to face up to this, that Haggai 2:21 says, "I will shake the heavens and the earth." That God shakes the earth. Nahum 1, "The mountains quake before Him," or from Him, literally. "The earth is lifted up because of Him. The rocks are broken down because of Him." These are descriptions of earthquakes. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Nebuchadnezzar, the great monarch in the days of Daniel, said that God doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. God caused this earthquake. He oversaw it. He is omnipotent. And He is glorious. He can cause the whole earth to shake, and He can cause portions of the earth to shake. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and earth and the sea and all deep places. The Lord can destroy the world in a few days, as He did in the flood of Noah. He can destroy a city in 45 seconds. He can destroy the world by fire in a moment, which the Bible predicts. It's no time to ridicule God as I reveal this, as I remind us of this earthquaking thought. It's not a time to ridicule God. It's a time to worship Him. When Job had his whole world crumble beneath him and around him, what did he do? He fell on his face and he worshiped God. Job lost his whole, all his children in a moment. There are people that lost whole families, spouses, perhaps all relatives that were living around them. What should they do? Fall on their face and worship God through Christ and ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do from this? God is a God of omnipotence. He has created the world. He providentially rules over it, and He can judge it as He sees fit. He's a God of holiness. He judged the antediluvian, the world in Noah's day because of sin. He sent the plagues on Egypt. He decimated Jericho in a matter of moments. Jericho had its buildings fall upon them. And an army of soldiers come in and destroy the city. Jerusalem understands a decimated city in 70 AD. Haitians have people to empathize with them. But I would pray that the people of Haiti will look up and they'll say, God is a God of power and holiness. But it's not the devil that has such power. It's the God of heaven and earth, the seas and all deep places, the only living and true God that can shake the earth. This is the thought I would like to convey regarding the earthquake in Haiti on Tuesday. God is omnipotent and holy. And may I say, secondly, there is a moral reason God is not arbitrarily wrathful that this earthquake occurred to destroy hundreds of thousands of people. Man is impotent, he's needy, and he's unholy. God is omnipotent, independent, and holy. But this earthquake shows us that we are impotent. We're needy and we're sinful, unholy people. Did sin bring this? Is asked. Did the Haitian sin bring this? Is there sin greater? These are questions that are being asked. Robertson immediately said that because they had a pact with the devil and are dominant voodoo people, that God judged this nation. I think these were untimely words. Help first, then explain. Send your money, offer yourself, pray for recoveries, pray for orthopedic surgeons to volunteer, nurses, police, relief, contractors. But this earthquake tells us how impotent man is. Drinking coffee in a hotel and within a matter of seconds, you're in darkness, covered with dust and soot. Man could only watch and fear and hide and run and cry. Man is impotent under the hand of Almighty God. Man thinks that we're independent. We have control of our lives. But in a moment, this ceiling could drop upon you and me if God shook the ground underneath us. In a moment, our hearts could stop. In a moment, friend, if you know not Christ, you could wake up in a devil's Hades. And it's true, friend, if I may be blunt, but bluntly honest, any person from Haiti that died without Jesus Christ Tuesday went to Hades. From Haiti to Hades. Terrible. The Bible says of the person who died without Christ in Luke 16 that in Hades he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Man's impotent. How needy. Homeless and hurt, hungry and thirsty, orphaned, widowed, afraid, lonely. They need help. And help came too late for so many people. Americans died in Haiti last Tuesday. People from many nations died. And the people who are dying right now, they need comfort. They need water. They need food. They need the gospel. They need someone to say, here's a drink, or give them a drink and give them something to give them a soft pillow. But they also need someone to whisper in their ear, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you ready to go into eternity? Have you believed on the Son of God for your salvation? They're needy. This earthquake tells us we are sinful. Again, to be bluntly honest, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're told in Isaiah, the earth is profaned under its inhabitants because they have transgressed. Why do earthquakes and tsunamis and floods and tornadoes and typhoons and volcanoes? Why do all these things occur? The Bible is teaching us that the earth is convulsing underneath the sin of the inhabitants of the earth. It's like the earth, if man won't cry, we sinned against God, it's like the earth is saying, you sinned. The thorns grow and they're saying, you sinned. The earth quakes, the earth is saying, you sinned. This could have been a world, it should have been a world without earthquakes and floods and tsunamis. But we sinned. Jesus did not answer, by the way, when they asked the question. There were people that came to Christ, as I read earlier in Luke 13, they said, notice what they didn't say. They assumed it. They knew that it was under God's overseeing that people were killed by Pilate, and that people died under the rubble of the Tower of Siloam. They didn't ask Jesus, did God do this? They assumed it. And Jesus assumes it too. They asked, were these sinners above other sinners? Basically. They knew that God did it. Suppose ye that they were sinners beyond others? Jesus said, it was sin that brought the calamity. He's not denying that. Do you see that, brother and sister? Jesus is not denying that sin brought the calamity. Pilate was offended. Pilate was a leader and he was offended. And this was his execution of offenders. Jesus did not say that the people that were killed under the Tower of Siloam were not sinners. He just said they aren't sinners beyond you that survive. It's sin that brings death. It's sin that brings the means that brings death. We've had earthquakes not just in Haiti. We've had earthquakes in Mexico, in Turkey, in China. We've had earthquakes in America. We are sinners. And per se, I am not less of a sinner than a Haitian because I have not been under the rubble of an earthquake, of a building that was collapsed in an earthquake. I deserve the wrath of God as a sinner in Adam and a sinner in life. I have received what I did not deserve. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. But by the grace of God, I would be in hell at this moment. And so I stand here saying that sin brought this calamity. But I stand here as a sinner saved by grace saying that. It's God's grace in my life that I did not die without Christ under some calamity. We have offended the God of heaven and earth and the seas. We deserve calamity and disease, death, Hades, and Gehenna. And even after Christians are converted and sinners are saved. Christians experience disease, calamity, death. But thank God in Christ we will never have Hades and Gehenna, but eternal life. This earthquake shows how impotent and needy and sinful man is. Haiti needs the gospel. Haiti needs relief. Haiti needs empathy. Haiti needs the gospel. How many gospel churches are there? Will you offer yourself? Will you pray for missionaries to be sent to Haiti? Will you give? Will we care? Will this just be another tragedy in the history books? Will we await the next one? Will we have some impact to help Haiti physically and spiritually? I'd like to see our church do all we can to help Haiti. The earthquake in Haiti teaches us that God is omnipotent. He is independent and holy. He's to be worshipped. If anyone from Haiti or Haitian Americans are here or listening to the internet, I beg you, fall on your face and worship God. Don't be bitter. Point the finger in ridicule. He's God. We are dependent on Him. He is our judge, or He is our Savior. And it will do no good for your soul to point the finger at God and say, why, with anger. But to fall on our faces and say, why, with humility, with a learning spirit. This earthquake teaches us that we are impotent. We are in great need of Him. We are dependent on the Lord. And we are sinful people that such things have to happen to get our attention. And such things have to happen in order for sin to be purged from the earth. I don't know much about Haiti, but Haiti's got to be no different than America. Full of adultery and fornication and abortion, murder, extortion and covetousness and idolatry. They need the Lord. And God wants to get the world's attention that sin is a crime against Him. And the last thought regarding the Haitian earthquake is the time is short. The only opportunity for salvation in preparation for eternity, where there will be no time. There are survivors. They have a little bit of time left. Some had only minutes. Some had only hours. And some, their time is fast running out as they land doors in parking lots, on streets, under makeshift tents as operating rooms. What did Amos go on to say after he said, is there a calamity in a city and the Lord will not do it? He said, O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. It's too late for people that died without Christ in Haiti. And thank God it was timely for those who died in Christ in Haiti. To be absent from the body, they're now present with the Lord. How we rejoice that they're with Christ. They don't remember the pain, if they felt any anymore. They don't remember the loneliness in those dark caverns underneath the rubble anymore. They're with Christ. There are survivors. All of us have time to think about preparing for eternity. It's time to send relief workers and doctors. But it's time to pray that God will send missionaries of the right order. Mr. Robertson, yes, Haiti is judged for sin, but so are we sinners, and our sins need to be judged in Jesus Christ or in ourselves. But the Haitians were not worse than others. Read Isaiah chapter 19, the Egyptians were idolaters, and they sought mediums and riches. And yet the Lord tells us his hope for Egypt. Though they consulted devils, they'll be saved by the Lord. Exodus 20 does say that God will visit the iniquity of the third and fourth generation of them that hate God. But thank God, it says, he'll show mercy in the thousands of generations of them that love him and keep his commandments. Though it might be three and four generations of Haitians who have hated God and worshipped idols, it just takes the first generation to begin believing. And they need the gospel. And they can begin to love God, begin to believe on Jesus Christ, and begin that first of a thousand generations that the Lord tarries, of them who are blessed of God. That Haiti can be an island where the love of God is reached, where they can be saved and become a Christian island, as it were. God can do it. May this generation of Haitians start loving God through Jesus Christ. And he is the only mediator. He's not the medium. He's the mediator between God and man. And there are strong proofs that Jesus Christ is the only one that can get you to God and to give you eternal life. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was sinless. He's the Son of God. He died an atoning death. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He's coming back again. He's going to judge the world and create it anew. And he's going to give eternal life to those who believe on him. And so to Haitians today, I ask, I beg you, do not be bitter, nor be hopeless. Jesus Christ died for Haitians. Believe on him according to his word, not according to tradition, but according to his word. Turn from your idols, or your ease, or your presumption, or your works, to the living and true God. And to all of us, I say, be not secure in our sins, or our creature comforts. Don't blame God and cut yourself off from your only hope of eternal life. Don't castigate Robertson or Dawkins and find yourself unprepared. Earthquakes, by the way, can occur in Buffalo, New York. We could be the recipient of a major earthquake, whether or not we're on a fault line. For God is still on the throne. God is omnipotent, independent, and holy. Man is impotent, needy, and sinful. Time is short, and time is the only opportunity for salvation and preparation for eternity. So, Lord, teach us to number our days. While you have time, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. While we have time, let us help people who are suffering because of sin and because of calamity and God's judgments. Lessons from the Haitian earthquake. Let's learn them and let's remember them. May the Lord use us. We pray. Oh Lord.